back at Lincoln Financial Field again on Sunday for an open practice with memories of Friday night still fresh in the Eagles' minds. The preseason opener against the New England Patriots, featuring some explosive plays from the Eagles' offense, some big moments almost for the Eagles' defense, and some players who stepped up and helped their chances of making this roster. Everyone, and welcome to PhiladelphiaEagles.com Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity, and I'm Dave Spadaro. We've got a lot to talk about today. The Eagles opening up the preseason on Friday, a 31-22 defeat at the hands of the New England Patriots, but a lot of good things in that 60 minutes of football at Lincoln Financial Field. We'll talk about that. We want your phone calls. Eagles, obviously, early on, moving the football nicely. Chris Polk getting the start at the running back position. And the quarterback spot, heavily scrutinized, always discussed, is obviously something that a lot of people want to speak about as well. But we're going to talk about all this when we can. 215-320-5170. Get your phone calls coming now. Eagles practice today at Lincoln Financial Field. And there was a lot of this, actually. Jason Avant on the receiving end of Michael Vick's passes. Michael Vick also... today, a really good day throwing the football down the field to who else? Number 10, DeSean Jackson. It has just been one of those summers to remember for number 10, DeSean Jackson. The offense looking really, really good. The defense has a lot to work on. We'll hear from head coach Chip Kelly, his post-game press conference, or post-practice press conference from Lincoln Financial Field. Let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day as we have another open practice. Again, big practice. It was a terrific, terrific crowd over there, nearly 30,000 fans. Vic started on Friday, and we'll talk about that, obviously. And also Nick Foles gets the start on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. Eagles signing a long snapper today, James Winchester, replacing John Dorenbos, who's got an injury. And we'll figure out how this defense is going to work. LeSean McCoy back at practice today. And I bring in Brian Baldinger in just a little bit from the NFL Network to talk about what he sees with this Eagles team. He was, of course, the analyst for the Eagles Television Network broadcast on Friday night, Eagles losing the game. And you always come out of that first game with a lot of questions, right? And the major question for the Eagles now is, what do you do defensively to tighten things up, have better intensity, more tackling, more physical play? You cannot have big runs like this one that opened the game for the Patriots, 62 yards down the field. Bradley Fletcher making the touchdown-saving tackle, but when the Patriots got it going early, they got it going. A beautiful touchdown pass from Tom Brady here. Michael Kendricks in great position. But it was a running game that was dominant, and this run, the 51-yard run from LeGarrette Blount, just not acceptable for Bill Davis and his Eagles defense. So we'll see what Chip Kelly has to say after he's had time to look at the film, review things, discuss with his coaches, and then discuss with his team. Now, over at Lincoln Financial Field today, there were no pads on. It was a helmets and shorts practice. Good tempo. Again, a great crowd. We had the LeSean McCoy bobblehead, mini bobblehead giveaway today. Beautiful, beautiful day in South Philadelphia. And again, thank you to the fans who come out and support. 75,000 fans for the first three open practices. The next one is on Saturday. Great turnout from everyone. And Eagles Youth Partnership had a big part in today's practice as well. So all of that good stuff, and we thank you for that. When we return, we'll get to Chip Kelly. We'll hear from Byron Baldinger. We want your phone calls. We want to hear what you have to say about the Eagles in their first preseason game, 215-320-5170. 215-320-5170. Make sure you give us a call. We're coming right back on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
How to awesome a road game. Step 1, work the Saturday shift. Step 2, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step 3, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex. Now, practice today at Lincoln Financial Field, and we're going to hear from LeSean McCoy, Eagles running back, back on the field today. Good to see him back at practice. Hopefully he'll be ready to go against the Panthers on Thursday night. Eagles running game looking to crank it up this year. And Chris Polk seems to have moved ahead of Bryce Brown for that number two spot. Eagles really deep at this running back position. Let's take a look at some of the numbers from Friday night's game. Impressive offensive performance from the Eagles. A 31-22 defeat, but they moved the football very, very well with Michael Vick, 4 of 5, 94 yards. The big touchdown pass, of course, to DeSean Jackson, 47 yards. Fantastic move down the right side against Aqib Talib, and just a terrific play. Nick Foles, just as good. 5 of 6, 43 yards, one touchdown drive, one fumble lost, a blindside hit. And Nick Foles gets the start on Thursday. We'll hear Chip Kelly talk about that in just a moment. How about up front? Benny Logan, 4 tackles, half a sack, third-round draft pick from LSU, is making a good early impression for Philadelphia. 215-320-5170 is the telephone number. As we finish up with the Patriots and turn the page and get ready for the Carolina Panthers. Certainly, you want to see better tackling from the Eagles. You want to see this offense continue to make strides. We take a look at some of the quarterbacks here in a little bit. The Eagles quarterbacks, it was not only Vic and Foles playing so well, but rookie Matt Barkley came in, and early on, as I was talking to a coach today, he felt that Barkley really got into his groove, a little early, amped up, trying to do too much, but picked things up, got into the tempo of the NFL game situation very early in his first game. And the Eagles coaching staff impressed with that fact, that it didn't take Barkley long to get into that groove. Steps up, throws the ball well, makes nice plays. This was a touchdown drive for Barkley, and just an impressive performance from him. And he joins Foles and Vic in leading the Eagles offense to more than 400 yards in the preseason opener. So good stuff from Friday night. Now, Eagles looking forward to having LeSean McCoy back on the field. He was on the field today. Hopefully he's there on Thursday. He talked after practice at Lincoln Financial Field.
Back out of practice and, after that little
It was tough. It was light practice, but, I mean, with the new tempo of going so fast, it's always a tough day at work. I think it's a little rusty today. some of my cuts, some of my reads. I've been going for about 3-4 days. So I think it's a difference when you used to going so fast and then you stop for about 4 days and then try to get back out there. It's a little different.
How cautious do you have to be with the knee injury, because Chip Kelly's going to rely on you guys to run the ball a ton?
Well, it's not a big problem. I had my MRIs and my knees actually look pretty good for being in the league for 5 years. You know, I think just a little sore, you know, and just been working so hard. It's kind of moved the wrong way, tweaked it a little bit, but nothing major at all.
You kind of tried to get through a couple of practices this week, but it seemed like you tested it and then backed off a little bit. Is it a real give and take right now?
I feel good now. I've been treating for about four days, and the thing is, Coach Kelly, we're still in the preseason, so I don't think he wants to really have me out there if I'm not 100%. It's still early. I don't have any big issues. I don't think any surgeries or anything like that to worry about. Just one of the things where you turn the wrong way and kind of tweaked up a little bit, a little swollen, but I'm good now, feel good.
Do you have to balance that, though? I mean, do you just to be cautious?
I mean, not cautious. I think the 4 days was me being cautious. You know, now I'm out here, I'm pretty much gone. Just got to get treatment and constantly stay on it. But then again, like I said before, it's not a big issue where I have to be worrying about it every day. I don't have any knee problems or anything like that. Just one of the things was like a sore ankle or something like that. Take a couple of days off it and then you get back to it, which I'm doing now. It's not the rust off. I'll be fine.
I saw you and Coach kind of playing little playful jabs back and forth. The rapport that you have with Coach, I mean, certainly developing, but I mean, you guys seem to get really
good. Yeah, I like Coach. I mean, obviously I like him. He runs the ball a lot. But he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy. And he's one of the guys where he's honest and what you see is what you get. I'm a hard worker. I want to be his guy that he relies on. So we have a good relationship. Maybe offers will get better. I think it's new. He's getting to learn about me and I'm getting to learn about him. So it's kind of mutual. We know each other.
It's going to be a big season for you.
Yeah, ask me what you're telling me.
Especially, could be a big season for you. Is it particularly disappointing that you've been having this little setback, knowing that this could be
I wouldn't say a setback. I mean, I only missed about 9 plays of action so far. Okay. I think I'm used to the contact part. I think that's the biggest thing with the preseason is getting the timing down and getting the contact. But, you know, we have, 3 more games left, and then we have the big one, an opener in Washington. So I have enough time to get myself ready to go.
It was a small sampling size, but did Mike or Nick show enough on Thursday, in your opinion, for one of the guys to stand out to be the starter on this team?
I don't think we had enough plays to really know exactly. I think they each had 2 series apiece.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you really tell out of that? Plus, another thing I look at is as we play in these teams, the same with us. We're not showing everything we have. So, kind of in that third game, you really can see everything, where the defense is sending a little bit more different blitzes. You know, you kind of look at the team tape a little bit more. It's really so early to tell. I mean, they both had 2 series apiece. You know, so. And then again, I can't say too much because I didn't even play with them yet. So, we're waiting to see. I'm like you guys, just waiting, patiently waiting to see what happens.
Chris Polk at the start. Can you talk about the development you've seen with him? He seems like he's really grasping
things right now. I think with guys when they come in as rookies in the second year, I think it's their best year because they're a little bit more confident in themselves. They know they can play in the game. That's him and Bryce look good. I think Pope has really stood out of all the backs, including myself, this camp. Just consistently every day, you know, working hard and getting better. I think as a young guy, you got to always consistently prove yourself. And he's been doing that. So hopefully everything works out with him and I'm success with him and being here. And we need him. We need tons of backs here.
Thank you.
And that is LeSean McCoy feeling good, getting ready hopefully to help the Eagles on Thursday night, their second preseason game of this summer. All right, let's get to some phone calls. 215-320-5170. Training camp continues today at the Lincoln Financial Field. A big crowd, 30,000 or so, maybe a few less, but a great attendance for a practice again. All right, to the telephones we go. Mario in New Jersey joins us. Mario, welcome to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. How you doing, Mario?
Good. I'm excited. First time I called.
Great, thanks for calling.
Thanks. Hey, Dave, I just had a question. What's your first, your impression on the first preseason game with Vinny Curry?
You know, a great question, Mario. Have been wondering how he would fit in. A traditional 4-3 defensive end. Now he's being asked to play the 5 technique, which is to shade the tackles, the offensive tackle's shoulder. And I thought he played very well. I mean, he was really aggressive. He was productive. He made good penetration. was active in drops. He played his way into more reps. I thought he was terrific.
I thought so too. My question: do you think if for Bill Davis 3-4 defense, how would you think Vinny Curry, Isaac, and Fletcher Cox? Do you think that would work out?
Well, right now it's Cedric Thornton, but like I say, and thanks for the call, Mario. I believe that Vinny Curry has certainly been able to get more notice, should be able to earn more reps. And that's the way I thought Vinny Curry was one of the standouts for this Eagles defense. All right, let's go out to Colorado and talk to Hector. Hector, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello.
Good, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. What's up?
Well, my question's about the defense. It seems like for the past couple of years, it's been just getting worse and worse on the tackling and everything. Do you think we need to pick up or trade or...
Well, Hector, sorry for the technical difficulties there. The defense, the tackling, great question. Coaching, certainly a priority for this coaching staff. They did not tackle to the ground today. The players, in fact, did not wear pads. I would be doubtful that they'll do that even at any time leading up till the game on Thursday. So how do you get better at tackling? Well, you emphasize it. I mean, the Eagles tackled all year in training camp last year and in practice during the week and worked on it, and they still tackled poorly. To me, it's a mindset. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to be willing to sell out. And it's certainly something that very much needs to be improved. There's no question about it. Dan Pittsburgh joins us now on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. Hey, Dan.
Dave, what's up, man?
How are you
doing? Happy Eagles Day.
You too, brother.
Hey, I got a question for you. So, you know, of course, you watch the preseason games closely. You're the football expert, so that's why I'm counting on you to answer this question for me.
Okay.
Now, seeing the offense, I know this was like bland vanilla.
Very much.
But
so.
I mean, it definitely looked like we have the ability to push the ball up the field lightning fast, and it kind of looks like we're taking advantage of the strength that we have on offense with, you know, offensive linemen that move around pretty well. You know, we're pretty quick all around. Defensively, if it looks like we're having problem tackling and doing things like that, do you think our offense has the ability to overcompensate for what we've lacked defensively
I hear what you're saying, Dan. I mean, your question really comes down, can the Eagles win games 48-42 is what you think.
Exactly.
Now, I don't think anybody would accept a defense, and thanks for the call, Dan. The defense has to get better. And in a strange way, look, I think the Eagles are going to say, glad for that game, we need to improve. And personally, if you're not going to tackle in practice, okay, then you better reward those young players who came to play on Friday and who tackled well. And there were some. And if a player like Jake Knott tackled so well and played so hard, give him some time. Challenge these starters, these veterans. Jake Knott's a good football player. Jake Knott is going to do everything he can to make this team. I'll compare it to this. When I saw Chris Polk starting, my immediate reaction was, hey, congratulations to Chris Polk because he's worked really hard. And the other reaction I had was, boy, what's this going to do for Bryce Brown? And Bryce Brown went out and had a great game. Lights a fire under these players. I want to see players play with fire. I think last year they just weren't physical enough. Okay? They got to be more physical. There's no question about it. And Bill Davis didn't call many blitzes, maybe one blitz with the starting and second team in there. You got to challenge these players. All right. Chip Kelly meets the media today. Let's go over to Lincoln Financial Field and hear from the head coach. He's had a couple of days to look at the film from Friday night, digest things, discuss with his staff, and make some adjustments.
How you expect to be during the season?
I have no idea. Got into the season yet? We just knew there were certain things we wanted to work on during the game, so that's kind of how we came about it. So.
But you're known as a coach with a fast pace.
No, I mean, there's times we're going to have to play fast, and there's times we're going to have to play slow. So, it really, the game itself dictates what you have to do. So, you know, I've said that all along. If you're up, you don't want to play fast. You know, you want to work the clock. So, depends on the situation in the game and how it expresses itself. But there were certain things in that game we just wanted to get accomplished. Really our first full game with officials, so just trying to get a feel for them. That was it.
After you watch the tape now, what did you see in that first drive was the problem with stopping the run?
You know, first play, we just weren't gap sound. You know, we didn't get gapped out the right way, and the ball split, you know, got to the all the way to the third level without anybody getting a hand on it. So, you know, and first guy to the ball, Fletch made the tackle, but it was 60-some-odd yards down the field. So, you know, there's a couple times we just missed fitting gaps, and we got to clean that stuff up. You know, team defense is, you know, everybody being where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there. So, you know, there were some gap issues, I think, especially in the run game. So,
do you think some of that is still because guys are playing a two gap for the first time?
Just some of it's just the whole system's new. So I think it was your first live action in a game. You know, we haven't had live football, you know, since we've been here. So that was our first time. So,
Chip, when you watch the tape, did you see things that were better than you actually thought they were in the game from the tape, and things that maybe weren't as good as you thought they were?
I think that's always the case. You're never as good as you think you are, but you're never as bad as you think you are either when you watch the tape. You know, we had a great punt return, but we didn't block it very well. Damaris did a great job on his own, but it was probably the one punt return we didn't block very well all day, but it ends up breaking for 60, you know. So there's an example. But you had one guy that made a play, and Damaris did make a play on that. So there were some guys I thought, you know, some of the younger defensive linemen, Benny Logan and Square, really I thought played well. I thought Bradley Fletcher played well on the defensive side of the ball. And then we were limited, you know, I think with some guys, they're only in their 8-10 plays, so it's kind of tough to get a, hey, they played really well, or they didn't play well because it wasn't that many snaps. But, you know, I think there are some bright spots out there that obviously I thought how Nick came back with the second time out there after a fumble, you know, how he responded on that drive. I thought Matt, after he settled down at quarterback, started to make some plays and threw the ball decisively, made a couple big plays, especially that third and long when he hit Clay Harbor and third and 20 plus. But the mistakes that I think you hope you don't have, but you know it's going to happen in the first game. You know, a couple of those ugly penalties that we had. You know, he had two false starts. You know, the things that are administrative penalties that happened before the snap that you just have to clean up. And you know, there was a lot of wide-eyed young guys out there. You know, and you hope when you get to game two now. You know, there's a big jump for us in terms of it's not our first time. It's not the first time, you know, going out on that field in front of a good-sized crowd and with officials, and it's live and the whole nine yards. So hopefully we got a big improvement this week.
On the second and third touchdowns, did the quarterbacks there have an option to hand it off or throw the ball on those still?
On the second and third.
Yeah, sorry, the Bryce Brown touchdown run and then the Sally screen it.
No, some of those are called plays. So the first one was a called run for Nick. So, and then I think we were trying to run a screen out to Salas. So,
in terms of Danny Wappington, throughout camp and then also in the first live action, what's your evaluation of him at this point?
He's improved from where we first had him in the spring. You know, when he's competing. You know, if we were going to play today and everybody's healthy, he's competing as a backup. But, you know, not everybody is healthy. So he has improved since we first saw him in the springtime, and he's working extremely hard. So he's right in there in the mix right now.
What did you see from Lane Johnson on tape?
I thought Lane did a real nice job, especially in his first game. You know, I think very consistent. He may have been our most consistent offensive lineman, you know, the way Coach Stoutland graded it out. You know, knew exactly what he was doing, didn't have any mental errors. You know, plays with great effort. You know, he's always trying to make the extra play, play into the whistle. But for his first game, you know, he didn't really stick out like a rookie in a good way. You know, it's sometimes I think they stick out as rookies in a poor way, where they're going in the wrong direction or they're kind of caught up in it. But I don't think he was by any stretch. He was one of the younger guys that really I thought the three guys that were young players for us that stood out were Square and Logan on defense and Lane on offense.
Quarterbacks on the tape that you didn't pick up on Friday?
Yeah, always, you know, footwork, you know, where they are, where their eyes were, how they carried out fake, some of those things. So overall, I thought the first two played really well. And then I thought Matt did a good job when he settled down. And then Dennis made some plays when he was in there too. And GJ didn't get many snaps, but, you know, to handle the rush the way he did and get the ball down to Salas and get us down to the 2-yard line, you know, kind of impressed with him. So I'd like to see a little bit more of him this week. So.
For Kerry Williams and Jason Peters, those hamstring injuries have lingered at times. As a coach, what do you do to kind of monitor it and decision making?
Yeah, they're just in the hands of our medical staff. So, you know, I think one of the smart things as a coach is to let the experts handle it. So, you know, I don't have the background that they have. So for me to weigh in and say, I think this is what you should be doing with a hamstring, I think our guys have done a real good job. Kerry was out there today, made it through the full practice. So, you know, be real interested in his recovery this afternoon and then how he feels. And hopefully, you know, if we can get a couple of days of practice in, and we really need to get him out in the field, and it'd be great if you know, he's status quo the rest of the week, then we'll see him on the field against Carolina. Jason was running today, you know, so he's made some improvements and some strides. But if he doesn't practice, we're not going to play him on Thursday. So we'll see how he recovers too.
Did you either talk to Dorbas yourself or get a report on him this morning?
Yeah, John's around. He's fine, you know, but there's a protocol that you have to go through. So, you know, he says he feels well, but, you know, there's certain tests and whatnot that you have to pass. You know, it's a...
How far along he is in that?
No, I do not know that part of it, so.
How has Fletcher Cox looked in the new scheme?
You know, I think one thing Fletch brings is a you know, a tenacity and a... got a great nose for the ball in terms of getting to it. You know, I still think all those guys on the front are learning their gap responsibilities and being where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. But, you know, I think Fletch is one of the standout inside defensive players in this league. So, you know, we're really excited to see him as he gets more acclimated to the system, you know, to really start stop thinking and pin his ears back and go plays. Because when he does do that, and we've seen that in practice a few times, you know, he's a heck of a player, so.
Does Damian Square do well that's
allowed him to stand out? He's a real good technician, obviously comes from a great program, just had a real good skill set coming in, and it shows. But he also, I think, his work ethic and his tenacity, you know, are two things that every single day he's, you know, he just brings it. You know, it's almost like every day is game day for him, which is what you want. And I think sometimes for some people it's a cliche, but for him it's not. So, you know, been really, really impressed with him, you know, and he's really pushing to make this team. So,
you start your career, you talked about Curry the other night, and obviously Logan and Square and Cox. I mean, do you feel like the defensive line right now, you have a good young core to build around for a while?
Yeah, I think we do. You know, I think that's one of our strengths on the defensive side of the ball right now. What I would say is our defensive line. And then when you throw Soap and Gathers in the mix and Sed Thornton, you know, I think we feel like a D-line is starting to round into shape as a strength for us over there.
I mean, people around the rigs have spoken highly about Damian even before he got here, or as he got here. Why a guy like that wouldn't even be drafted?
I give up guessing on why those things happen. I'm just happy we have him, so.
Salas obviously made some big plays on Friday. How did you feel about the rest of the twos and threes receiver?
He has, but I think if you watched us practice against the Patriots, he made some big plays, and he just keeps picking it up. I thought, you know, Murph had a big catch, big diving catch, but then, he, you know, I think he probably wants a tough one that he dropped, but he dropped it. You know, he showed up and played well. Damaris had a catch. I think Damaris's biggest impact was on in the return game. And then the young guys, it was good for Mo and Shep to get their first action, but I don't think either of them, although we had 18 guys catch balls, I don't think those guys were in the 18. But I thought, you know, obviously Salas was the one guy in that, you know, after, you know, the first three that really stood out to us.
Looked like Clay Harbor was getting some with the wide receivers a little bit out here. Is he just getting a look there?
Yeah, both. You know, we know we got seven tight ends, and he already knows how to play inside because all of our tight ends know how to play the slot. So, you know, he actually had three big catches for us on Friday night. So, you know, he's probably the fastest of the tight ends. So until really there's some cut downs and there's some guys available, you know, we think the best route for us is the guys we have. So if we can cross train Clay a little bit and get him to play outside receiver now, we believe he knows how to play inside and understands all our route concepts. So it's just a matter of, you know, the more versatile you can be, the better impact you can make. So he's a big body. He's physical. Not worried about him blocking corners. And he's the one receiver, one tight end we have that's got really, really good speed. So it'll be interesting, and we'll try to get him some reps this week so he can feel comfortable, and hopefully we can get him in a game out there.
You had him working at outside linebacker a little bit during the mini camps, or just learning it, and same thing with Avant. Are you still doing that with those two guys?
Right now we're not, you know, but I think when we cut down, we'll start to work some of those again. I mean, you just have to learn how to, for us, it's just maximizing your roster. You go on game day, you play with 46 guys. You know, we two inside linebackers were down for a little bit of time in the third quarter on Friday night. You know, we were going to have to put Kendricks and D'Amico back in the game. So, You know, when you if you were to lose two guys on Sunday in the fall, you don't have anybody else. You know, so you better have some guys that who's your emergency this and who's your emergency that. You hope you never get to them, but you know, I think you'd be foolish if you didn't get an opportunity to train them a little bit in practice than to just the first time they're ever going to do it as a game. Brent Celek's a prime example. You know, John went down. You know, Brent had to come in and snap. You know, and he did a outstanding job in the punt game. He actually had two tackles, you know, it on punt after snapping the ball. So, but I know we've used him extensively there. And it was probably on us. We didn't get him a lot of work as the short snapper. And that's why that field goal at the end of the first half, that's more on us than it was Brent, because we hadn't put him in that situation. So it's the same thing. You know, you better make sure you have a backup snapper. If you only got two quarterbacks active on game day, you better know who your third quarterback's going to be. You know, you better know if you got an extra nickel, you may have to have an extra pass rusher. So that's just a preventive thing. You know, that's not for Clay and for Jason, that wasn't we're moving their positions and we're going to, you know, look at them exclusively there, but we're just trying to maximize the roster because they're two athletic guys and felt they could make that transition. So
LeSean McCoy talked about he likes playing for you because you like to run the ball, and he says he likes interacting with you. Can you talk about how you've tried to interact with the players and try to be a player's coach in a sense too, and kind of just be one of the guys as well as their coach?
Yeah, I don't think of it that way, and I don't think of being a player's coach. I think, you know, they have to understand what you're asking them to do and explain it, and you know, that's the extent of it. But I think you just have to be your personality when you're around those guys. And, you know, we're all men, you know, and I think they understand that. And we treat them like men, and they treat our staff like men. There's great respect going both ways from our players to our coaches and our coaches to our players. So, but we don't consciously think about that. But I think that's more LeSean's personality than anything else, because he likes to play around with everybody. So that's more him than he's a little bit more Chuckles the Clown than I am.
All right, so. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Get less. You get a question.
Yeah, Kerry Williams was just talking out in Carter about the incident last week with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was, and I think I'm representing this fairly, that he comes from a culture in Baltimore where you didn't turn the other cheek, where if somebody was like walking in the back, which is what he alleged was happening there, that you let people know that you weren't going to be trifled with.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like this team could use more of an edge.
If you do that in a game, you're kicked out. So we practice like we play.
Do you think the team needs more of an edge?
We could go get in a street fight, but that's not going to help us. You know, there's a certain way you're supposed to play this game, and it's between the whistles, and the stuff after the whistles is not what we're looking for. And our players knew in that game, and Bill was the same way. One of the reasons we wanted to participate in it against the Patriots is we knew this wasn't going to turn into a WWE brawl, because that's not what it is. It's a game of football. So, okay, guys.
And that is head coach Chip Kelly. Good review of the Eagles preseason opener against the New England Patriots. And then obviously a little peek ahead here with Carolina waiting on Thursday night. One note about the preseason game. You know, sometimes these are very sloppy affairs and really ragtag kind of 60 minutes. You get through all these substitutions. You don't know who's in. You don't know who's out. And that often results in high numbers of penalties. And we've seen it over the recent years during the Andy Reid era. The Eagles committing a lot of penalties. Well, in the preseason opener, the Eagles committing just 5 penalties, and in the first half, just 2 penalties for a loss of 15 yards. A false start penalty on wide receiver Ifeanyi Moma, and then a pass interference penalty against wide receiver Russell Shepard, which, as we looked at the play later, did not appear to be a very good call. But the point is, with all this up-tempo, with all this no-huddle, the Eagles were disciplined. They played at that high tempo very, very comfortably, and that is a great sign. More to come on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. Next up, we go to the practice field when we return to PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
We welcome you back inside training camp presented by Xfinity. I'm Dave Spadaro. Busy week ahead for the Eagles. Preseason game number two against the Carolina Panthers on Thursday, then the fourth open practice of this training camp period on Saturday at Lincoln Financial Field. We go over to Lincoln Financial Field to give you a taste of today's practice. Again, a great crowd on hand. I'm going to guess somewhere around 30,000 fans in the stands watching some practice. We show you from the practice field a little two wide receivers going against three DBs.
All right, folks, three on two. Chris McPherson here at Lincoln Financial Field. Nick Foles takes a first snap. DeSean Jackson, Brent Celek, the receivers, and Celek comes down with the reception. We're going to shift over to the left side of the field. Michael Vick in at quarterback. We're going to see Jason Avant and Greg Salas after his phenomenal performance here tonight. Greg Salas making a nice catch along the sideline. We're going back for some more. Matt Barkley over here and Zach Ertz coming up underneath with the reception of Ifeanyi Moma also out there. On the route combination, Dennis Dixon will be working on the left side. And he's going to hit Riley Cooper on the in routes. We're going to see a little G.J. Kinney here. We got James Casey in the flat making the reception in front of Brandon Boykin. We go left side, little Nick Foles fires a ball to Russell Shepard, number 11, coming up with the grab. Now let's go Michael Vick to the right side. Derek Carrier, nice job in the out route. Good anticipation by Vick on that play. We're seeing a little Matt Barkley fire the ball along the sideline on the cutback to Will Murphy, number 84. We're going to see Dennis Dixon to the right side. You have Emil Iguanagu, able to come up with the reception over Travis Long. Good job there by Iguanagu. We're going to see G.J. Kinney hold the ball a little too long. Good coverage there. Eddie Whitley, Everett Brown, and it looks like Earl Wolf were the three players in coverage there. Let's go back to G.J. Kinney here, firing down the seam for Zach Ertz. Nick Foles, my apologies, Nick Foles on that one. They're going back down the depth chart. Michael Vick to the left side hits Riley Cooper along the sideline. Here we're going to see G.J. Kinney. Pass, unable to bring it in. Tight end, Clay Harbor. We're going to go back to the left side. Dennis Dixon on the comeback. That's going to be Russell Shepard once again. We're going back to the right side. We're going to see Matt Barkley dropping back. You have Moma and Casey in the route combination. Casey getting the ball in the flats. We're going to go left side. Nick Foles drills it on the sideline. Will Murphy with the reception. All right, we're going to go back to Michael Vick here all on the right side. DeSean Jackson and Derek Carey. DeSean Jackson on the out route. We're quickly going left side. G.A. Kinney fires the ball to Greg Salas. We're going to head back to the right side. Looks like Dennis Dixon set to get this rep here. Maybe we're going to see a little bit of a running back combination. Looks like LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, Clay Harbor. Up. Oh, we're going back to the left side, though, first. Matt Barkley is going to air it out. Air out of bounds. Iguanagu, the closest Eagle there. Now we'll go back to the right side. Dennis Dixon hits Clay Harbor. Bradley Fletcher there on the coverage. Michael Vick on the left side. Drop back. Tried to feed Shepard, but good coverage there. Trevard Lindley out there on the play. We're going to go back to the right side. Nick Foles, the slant to Ifeanyi Moma, coming up with a reception. Change in music, but no change in drill here. Dennis Dixon on the left side awaits a snap. We have Ertz and Murphy. Give it a coverage sack. Dixon on the ball too long. We're going to go back to the right. There's Matt Barkley, who pump fakes and gets the ball to DeSean Jackson. Acho and Boykin in the coverage there. Now we're getting a little G.J. Kinney on the left side. Hits Brent Celek in front of Jamar Chaney. Now we get a little Michael Vick going to the right side here. You have Jason Mine, Clay Harbor, tremendous coverage there. Look like Curtis Marsh, 31 on the coverage there. We're headed back to the right side. Nick Foles finds Riley Cooper for the reception. We're going to head back to the right side. Dennis Dixon awaits a snap. LeSean McCoy and Ifeanyi Moma. Oh, a little confusion there. Ball thrown behind McCoy. Don't know whose fault that would be on, but nonetheless, incomplete. Barkley back to the left side, hits Derek Carrier. All on the sideline, we're going to go back to the right. Nick Foles awaiting the snap. Nick Miller, DeSean Jackson. Jackson in the slot, gets the ball in front of Brandon Graham. The G.J. Kinney, final ball, nice deflection there. Jordan Poyer, number 33, the seventh round pick out of Oregon State with the pass breakup. We're going to head back to the right side. Oh, we're going to stick to the left. Michael Vick. Oh, a little bit behind Will Murphy there. Unable to bring it in, though. Now we go right side. Matt Barkley hits Clay Harbor. And that's going to do it for the 3-on-2 drill here from Lincoln Financial Field. Enjoying the practice. More coverage coming up here on Inside Training Camp.
And there is your look at practice at Lincoln Financial Field. Again, a good crowd on hand. Thank you very much for your support. When we return to Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity, I'm joined by Brian Baldinger, NFL Network. And what are we going to talk about? What else? The game on Friday night, the preseason debut, what he liked, what he wants to see improve, and then a little peek ahead to the Carolina Panthers coming up on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Don't go anywhere.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Final score 31-22 on Friday night, the Eagles preseason opener. We're here to talk about it now with Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, and of course the analyst for the Eagles television network preseason broadcast. And Brian, a lot of good things, some not so good things. You always come out of your first preseason game with a lot of areas to correct. What are the top three areas you want to correct?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, defensively, obviously, you got to tighten up the whole thing. I mean, you know, the gashes, the big runs that they gave up. Big runs should never happen in the NFL. I mean, whether it's pursuit, right angles, wrapping up. And they had three really big runs, obviously the opening play of the game, 62 yards. So, I mean, that'd be the first thing. Then secondly, you know, I mean, you can't play football on the ground. I just saw a lot of guys on the ground. And so there's never a good football player that's on the ground. I mean, you got to protect your legs. But so that'd be an issue right there. And I just think I would never be happy, ever, with a first game performance if I was a head coach. I would always find every single detail to hammer home. Because I said in the broadcast that the first preseason game is really just an interruption in preseason, you know, practice and getting the mind set for the season. And so that's all Friday night was. I mean, it's an exhibition. Look, you throw a touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson with great protection, good pickup block by Chris Polk, perfect throw laying out by DeSean. I mean, those are the kind of things you just love to see.
What do you think the mindset is here now? You come back from a first preseason game. You finally have something to watch on tape against another team. Is there more urgency generally after that first game?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I always think there should be. I mean, I just think like this is a time to point out every single detail and hammer it home, you know? And so it doesn't have to be the most negative thing, but I mean, if I was a player coming into today after a day off, I'd be uncomfortable. I'd literally would, you know, sitting there watching the film, I'd have my fingernails just like gripping it underneath the desk. Taking my notes and listening to the instruction here. I mean, I wouldn't be comfortable at all. If I was anybody, I'd be, you know, all these things are peer pressure is a great teacher, a great motivator, and nobody wants to see, you know, somebody show somebody something that's not less than perfect.
Brian, first game, who kind of jumped out, maybe helped their cause a bit making this roster?
Well, I mean, a couple guys. I thought Jake Knott was really active. You know, he's a linebacker from Iowa State. Wasn't drafted, surprisingly, because he was a very good player in the Big 12 for 4 years. So I thought Jake Knott, you know, kind of got people's attention. I thought Vinnie Curry, a guy that a lot of people think maybe caught in the transition here, what's his role, what's his play, but he kept showing up and he hustled. He hustled back on plays. He got after the quarterback. He hit the quarterback. So, I mean, those two guys right off the bat looked like they were impressive to me. And then obviously the catch by Greg Salas is a guy, you know, at a position right now where they're looking for playmakers. I mean, that type of a catch, you can't help but notice.
What did you learn as you watched Chip Kelly's offense? They did some no huddle. They huddled up. They, you know, they got plays off quickly, had a lot of success moving the football, scored some early points. What did you think?
Well, I thought, you know, on the one touchdown drive that Nick Foles took him down on, you know, in that hurry-up style, and that's not as fast as they can play. They can play faster than that. I thought they had great rhythm. And with that rhythm, it kept New England off balance. And so you just saw like this, the steady gains, the conversions. I just thought it was well executed. And what you saw was, you know, even with Nick Foles pulling it down and running, I mean, he's not going to do that often. If he does it, you know, one time on Thursday night against Carolina, that'd probably be the most. But in that one run, it keeps that one unblocked player, keeps him honest. And that's what this whole thing is designed to do.
Matt Barkley, 11 of 22, 103 yards, a touchdown pass. Not bad for the kid.
I would agree. And look, every single rookie that went out there, you know the nerves were there. You know, and so he's watching Mike Vick play, he's watching Nick Foles play, and they're all having some success. But I didn't get the feeling that he was nervous. I thought he attacked down the field. He missed a couple throws, he had a couple drops. But what you saw was, you see a guy that loves to play the game. You know, and he got his touchdown pass in there. He got the two-point conversion. He had some success. And it's clear that even in a very short period of time, he knows where to go with the ball. Like, he's very decisive, and that's what he always was at modern day. That's what he was at USC.
How do you see Mike Vick, Nick Foles?
Well, I mean, I think that it's still very, very tight. You know, obviously Mike came out and he played very well. He was sharp early. He only played 10 snaps, so it's very, very limited. But, you know, what I like is, okay, in the first game, you know, there was no ball handling mistakes. You know, Nick did get the ball knocked out of his hands, you know, on one occasion, you know, an open-handed type play that had to be reviewed. But for the most part, I thought they did a good job of taking care of the football. And I think that's something that you've always seen from Chip Kelly. His quarterbacks are going to take care of the football.
Brian, the tackling was poor for the defense, everybody acknowledging that. So how do you make it better if you are not going to tackle in practice?
Well, I mean, I think you have to, it's got to be emphasized. You know, whatever drills they have, there'll be drills for it now, Dave. Like, they may not tackle 11-on-11 team periods, but it's going to be emphasized heavily. And really, tackling is, there is technique to it, but more than that, it's want to. Like, you got to go want to wrap people up. And so, I mean, I put up the tape and I'd watch missed tackles and guys leaving their feet and ducking their head and all the fundamental errors. And you just have to point that stuff out, and you have to make guys extremely conscious of it to the point where this is completely unacceptable. And you can't play if you're on the ground or you're missing tackles.
Week two of the preseason is here. The Carolina Panthers are next. We'll get you covered from here all the way through Thursday's game at Lincoln Financial Field. Brian Baldinger, thanks for joining us in studio today on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, in celebration of over 75 years of our Government Employees Insurance Company,
or GEICO, as most of you know it,
I propose savings for everyone.
I'm talking hundreds here, and furthermore...
Breaking news, the GEICO is demanding free pudding.
And political parties that are actual parties, with cake and presents.
Ah, that was good. It's too bad nobody could hear me.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Good notes. Notes. That's where you use that sideline a bit.
Well, that will do it for today's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. We're back on Monday at 3 o'clock, just days away from preseason game number 2, the Eagles and the Carolina Panthers on Thursday night at Lincoln Financial Field. We thank you for joining us today. Eagles fans, have yourselves a great Eagles night.